Hello and welcome to the Half Court Press podcast. I am Wilson Moore, joined as always by John Walker. We're doing this for, I think, the first time this season on a Friday. So you've got that going for you. End your week, you know, roll into the weekend, listen to us talk about some college hoops. I don't know that it gets any better than that, John.
Could you imagine having such a stressful day at work on a Friday, okay, of all things, and knowing that a full day of college basketball is on the horizon, and you get off and you don't quite want to leave your parking spot yet, so you open your phone and you start to scroll through Twitter only to see that there's a new episode of the Half Court Press Pod.
Can't imagine anything.
Is there a better way to drive home? No,
I think there is.
There's not. I don't know. You find a better way to drive home.
Yeah.
And you tell me, man, because Half Court Press Pod on a Friday before a full slate of college basketball on a Saturday.
Does it get any better than this?
Oh, my. Listen, we got I don't know. It's been somewhat eventful. Not eventful as the past couple of weeks, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I think this week's episode is more about what lies ahead. We'll recap what everybody missed. But, I mean, we're in the dog days of February. This is the nitty-gritty of basketball season before we dive into the postseason. And, it's time. It really is. It's about time. So I think we'll probably talk quite a bit about what lies ahead for both Nebraska and Creighton. But what Nebraska do this week? Rather uneventful. They only played one game. Creighton played one and a half, depending on your view of Georgetown. What Nebraska do this week?
Yeah, Nebraska got a much-needed week off. It had been a grind for Nebraska over the past really 2 months. I think the last time they had more than like three or four days between games was back in December. So it was just one after another for January and February. And they finally got that bye week, you know, and got a win to feel pretty good about going into the bye. Played Michigan, who will likely finish last in the Big Ten. Nebraska jumped out right away through the first punch, went up as many as 30 in the first half. I think it was 43-13. Michigan briefly closed the gap, ended the half on a 12-2 run to make it 20, which was just enough to have you thinking, like, man, if they could start out on like an 8-0 run and suddenly this is a game. That did not happen. Nebraska weathered the storm, came out strong in the second half, bumped it back up to like 26-ish, won by 20. A good win for Nebraska. All Big Ten wins are good wins. All 20-point wins, even if it's against the worst team in the conference, are good wins. And that kind of leads them into this real kind of white-knuckle stretch, six games to the end of the season that we'll dive into shortly. Creighton played a couple games. I watched like a third of one of them. They were playing Georgetown, and I watched like 10 minutes, and I was like, I feel like I've seen – like I can just assume what's going to happen over the next 30 minutes of that game.
Yeah.
But that was Creighton's second game of the week. They also played Xavier. What do you see from Creighton this week?
Yeah, the Xavier win, you know, we talked about it on last week's episode. The back-to-back losses were like so disheartening. 1-point loss to Butler at home in the highest scoring Big East game in like 6 years or something like that. And so that one obviously sucked for them. And then, the Georgetown game, you know. But that Xavier game is really kind of the highlight of the past week for them, because Xavier was fighting for its tournament life. You know, they're kind of one of those Big East teams on the bubble, and they gave Creighton their best shot early on, and then they just fed Ryan Kalkbrenner That was kind of the, he had 28 points on 14 shots. So, it was almost a sure thing that Ryan Kalkbrenner was going to get to the rim and score anytime that Creighton needed him to. And that's really kind of how they gutted out the Xavier win. They got usual like additional production from Baylor Shireman and Trey Alexander and Steven Ashworth, struggled a little bit, but then caught fire late. They led that game by as many as 20. And then, yeah, I think Xavier had it to 5 with a minute and a half left. And it was like, oh, buddy, you cannot, like, you can't have 3 straight losses in this fashion. But they gutted that one out on the road in a place that's really not easy to win. History has proven in the Big East. So yeah, that was the big one for them. And then, if there's one takeaway from the Georgetown game, it's that Baylor Shireman became the second person in program history to record a triple-double. The first since Benoit Benjamin. And let's see, he did it 3 times. The most recent was 85. And so yeah, if any of our listeners want this tidbit for comparison's sake, say, man, 85. What was going on in 85? Marty McFly was introduced to the big screen. So it has been that long since a Creighton player had a triple double. And Benoit Benjamin did it with points, rebounds, and blocks, which that's impressive.
That is that the one
Three
thing young
straight
just did that
times.
the other day.
Exactly. He did that 3 times in his Creighton career.
Three
So Baylor's
times.
the first person to do it with points, rebounds, assists.
Wow.
So yeah, all things considered, a pretty nuts showing from Baylor Shireman, even though he struggled to score in that game. So yeah, that's kind of the week in route from, in return from Creighton. You got a win at Xavier that you probably needed really, really bad. Just all things considered, I don't think losing that game would have ended their season. Here we sit today on February 16th, and I think Lenardi's projections have them as a 4 seed still. Like, if you lose that Xavier game, we're talking about this team being a 6 seed now, right? But they didn't, and that's just to say it wouldn't have been the end of the world. But they too have, a hellish 6-game stretch to close the regular season, and so I guess just buckle up with Nebraska and Creighton basketball for the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how intertwined this is between Nebraska and the Big East, because there
Yeah.
are a lot of Big East teams on the bubble, a lot of Big East teams jockeying for position that it is now in Nebraska's best
Yeah.
interest that they lose. I know Nebraska fans do not like Creighton. I learned that pretty shortly after I got here, but
Same here.
Nebraska fans are gonna be Creighton, are gonna have to be Creighton fans in a couple
Yeah.
days when
Yeah.
they're playing Butler, because that is big. Butler is right there on the bubble with Nebraska. That was one when they lost to Marquette. That was good for Nebraska because that would have been a major resume boosting win
Yeah.
for a team that the Huskers are jockeying for position with. That's one example. I think Butler's probably the biggest example of the team closest to
Yeah.
Nebraska in those projections. I think they're both in the last 4 buys right now, according to
Yeah.
Lenardi. But that's the Big East is of utmost relevance to Nebraska down the stretch here.
Yeah, for sure. There are like, I fear my cat might make an appearance. I heard him lurking. No, I mean, for sure. You look at the Big East, it's like UConn, Marquette are your locks. It would take a collapse of epic proportions for Creighton to not make the tournament. I think they're one marquee win away from being a lock. Because again, the 6-game stretch they have coming up is just so brutal. But I'd like to think they hold their own.
Now,
But I think you got to win one more big one to be like a sure thing, top 5 seed, all of that jazz. But other than those three, the Big East is full of bubble teams. Georgetown and DePaul are what they are this year. They started looking forward to next season back in December, you know. Like that's kind of where the state of those two programs are. I'm sure Ed Cooley will get them turned around. DePaul will figure something out. We'll see. But everyone else, aside from the three at the top and the two at the bottom, they're all in the bubble. And I think that's the crazy thing. And so, yeah, you know, Creighton doesn't have any of the Xaviers or Seton Hall, or they do have Seton Hall or Providence's. You know, they don't have those middle of the pack Big East teams. But they have Butler, and that's the last one. So yeah, red aside, blue aside, I don't know if you're a Nebraska fan how you aren't rooting for Creighton on Saturday.
Yeah, and that'll be big because that's a Butler team that gave Marquette everything it could handle at home the other the other night.
You've been there. Is it everything it is hyped up to be, Hinkle Fieldhouse?
It is. You know, I was there. I covered a game about a year ago, and it was a really good atmosphere there. And Butler wasn't even good that year. That was not a very good Butler team. So
Dang.
I'd imagine now it's even better. But yeah, it's a sports writer bucket list place. You know, it's one of the really cool old college basketball arenas. Will you be there, John?
I will not. I will not. Yeah, it was just like everything was such a cluster in Indianapolis because of All-Star weekend, NBA All-Star weekend. So, yeah. And we had no clue if this game was going to be important. If Butler is going to continue this kind of like mid-season surge. They have, you know, to their credit, like you said, they haven't lost many throughout the past couple of weeks. That includes a win over Creighton in Omaha. And then, yeah, kind of one of the lone blemishes on that is the loss to Marquette, you know, which you kind of already said they gave. I don't know what much more they could have gave Marquette that night. I just think Marquette's better. But I don't know what more they could have done to beat Marquette that night. But yeah, Nebraska, they are fans of the upper class in the Big East.
They are.
To just clobber whoever they play over the next couple of weeks. I was doing my Big East rankings this week, and I noticed a lot of these bubble teams play each other. So I think Nebraska might be able to find solace in that the Big East will in some way cannibalize itself on the bubble. You know, you're gonna have Providence beat Xavier. You're gonna have Xavier go beat Villanova. You're gonna have all these weird things happen. That'll probably self-inflicted leave Big East teams out of the tournament. But that'll work out for the Huskers, though.
I'm sure a diehard Nebraska fan could go and look at those games and say, okay, what's the roadmap here that ends with none of these teams in the tournament? What combination of things has to happen
It's
for
like you get to week 18. You know, you get to like, I'll use actual basketball analogy. You know, you get to week 18 in the NFL, and it's like, oh, my team needs this to happen, this to happen, this to happen, this to happen. It's like when you're sitting there on Selection Sunday or the night before, and most of the conference tournaments are wrapped up. Maybe there's still a few games to play on Sunday, and you're like, okay, I am now a fan of Boise State to beat whoever, you know, like you just follow the randomest game so that it works out for your team. So yeah, I'm sure somebody has already calculated, man, yeah, if this team wins and if this team wins and if this team wins, then actually I think maybe Nebraska will play a tournament game in Omaha, you know, and somebody's probably already got it figured out.
Now, none of that will matter a whole lot to Nebraska if the Huskers don't continue to take care of business at home
Right.
and win a game or two on the road.
Yeah.
I had a story on this the other day. No one in the 68 team era has made the tournament without winning a conference game away from home. Which it's interesting because, you know, I guess I didn't think about it a whole lot until I kind of dove into the numbers that it makes sense, not just because, you know, it's more than just committee decision. It's also there aren't many good teams that don't win a game on the road. You know, generally speaking, if you are 0-10 on the road, you're probably not gonna be 10-0 at home. You're probably not that good of a team, which makes me realize, if Nebraska does do that, if Nebraska goes 0-10 on the road and 10-0 at home, I think they'll have a legitimate case as greatest team of all time to do that.
Only
But
team of all time to do that, maybe.
yeah, I that. That require that would require more research than
They would simultaneously be the best and worst team to ever go 10-0 at home and 10-0 on the road in
yeah.
conference play.
And the thing is, like, maybe they could make the tournament by doing that. If they do that, that would be, you know, wins over Purdue and Wisconsin. If you get two wins in the Big Ten tournament, depending on who those are against. Maybe, but that is not a road Nebraska wants to go down. History says no. History says you need to win on the road at least once, preferably twice, to make the NCAA tournament. Nebraska has three really solid shots at doing that. They've got Indiana, and then an Ohio State team that just fired its coach. And after that, a Michigan team who they just ran out of the gym at PBA. You gotta figure they win one of those games, right? You know, I mean,
I don't see. This is not the step back and be a beat writer, objective beat writer. This is the like committee selection Sunday mind in me. Like, you better win all three of those on the road because you can. You should be able to. Now, I say that while there's a different team, ranked team going on the road and getting upset every night, every week. You can count on it. Who's it going to be? We have no clue. But you can count on it. And but you have to get at least two of those, I think. Just to say, like, hey, we can beat bad teams on the road. We might not be able to beat everyone on the road, but we can beat bad teams on the road.
And they almost beat
I think
Illinois
that
on the road. That's the crazy thing.
I know that would have put them in the tournament. It wouldn't
Yeah,
have been a question.
absolutely.
It
Yeah.
wouldn't have been a question for me. Man, and the Wisconsin win is still okay at the moment, but they're
Yeah.
sliding.
Yeah. They beat Ohio State and maybe got put the final nail in Chris Holtmann's coffin. So kind of back on track, man. Every night of that 4-game losing streak, I would see a dozen of the same like tweet on my timeline that was Nebraska broke Wisconsin.
That's good.
Yeah, but
What would you say their home games are left? They have those road games. Who do they have left at home?
they've got Penn State tomorrow, Saturday, Rutgers and Minnesota. Rutgers and
You've got.
Minnesota are both teams they lost to on the road. They're both teams Nebraska held a double-digit lead against on the road. I think Nebraska should win those just based on the home and road splits, you know, how they play against how they played against those teams, how you figure they're less likely to collapse the way they did in both of those at home. And that's the funny thing, you know, with 6 games left, Nebraska should be favored to win all six. The Huskers won't win all six because nothing in college basketball is that simple, you know. But they'll be favored to win all six, which, you know, it's an opportunity and it's pressure. You know, it's okay. You know, now's your chance. You've got six winnable games in front of you. You know, there's no. It's no excuses at this point. Nebraska will either take care of business and make the tournament, or they won't, and end up in the NIT.
With, let me ask you this, with where they currently sit in the Big Ten standings and how that would play out to the Big Ten tournament, do you think only one, say they go 4-6 in these games in the, over these final six, do you think they're in with that, or do you think it would just depend on who it's again?
I think 4-2. I think Nebraska's feeling good at 4-2. Maybe it takes one more win in
Right.
Minneapolis, but four wins that gets you to 21. That 4-2 means 21 and 11-9 in Big Ten play. That would mean they got a road win.
Yeah.
I think 4-2 down the stretch probably gets them in. I'd say 5-1 definitely gets them in.
That makes sense. The I was just curious if you thought only winning one, because what they'll have like a 4-5 matchup maybe in Minneapolis, like is would one win be enough to cement them in the tournament, considering it's not against one of the Big Ten's heavy hitters? Do you think, or do you think they'd have to win two?
I think 4-2 and 1 in Minneapolis. Again, I think we had this discussion last week. I'm not a bracketologist. This is far
Which
less.
we've since learned.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Shout out to Sam.
Yes.
Because anybody who listened to last week's episode, we Googled. Oh my goodness. We Googled Joe Lenardi. We were curious as to what his day job was. And we found some random LinkedIn profile that said, like, vice president of something. At a college at St. Joe's maybe, and we were like, oh no way. And then yeah, Sam texted us later that night and said that is Lenardi, and I was like, oh my goodness, so that's good. It was so good, I laughed so hard. I think it'll be a similar kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say make or break. You know, I'm like 10 minutes removed from saying I think Creighton's almost a lock to be in the tournament. But they have three road games left, I believe. Yeah, they have three road games left against two teams that beat them and another that they beat by a point in Omaha, that being St. John's.
That's
The first two are Butler and Villanova. Okay, your final three home games are against the other top three teams in the league. So, yeah, that's why I kind of hesitated to say, that's why I said I think one more marquee win puts them in a, like, cements them in a top five seed. Because you go get one over, you know, you go win at Hinkle. It's an impressive win. Sure, you should win that game. On paper, you should win. They seem pretty juiced about it. I think the thing that Trey Alexander and Jason Green both said were like, we're not giving up 99 again. We cannot let that happen. So there's a little bit of motivation behind this game. But all things considered, I think Creighton should win. Now, then you really get to the thick of it. UConn, St. John, Seton Hall, Marquette, Villanova to end the regular season.
That's a run.
I would be hard pressed to find another five game stretch to close the regular season that prepares you for March as well as that does. I don't know what, yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's just absurd. You know, you usually get them scattered throughout, but like, no, both meetings with Georgetown, gone. Both meetings with DePaul, gone. Like, that's kind of the situation they fell into. So yeah, that'll be a brutal five game stretch. I think they have to go 4-2 as well. Maybe you lose to UConn, even though they've traditionally been pretty good against the Huskies since they rejoined the Big East. Maybe you lose to Marquette at home. Maybe it's at Nova to end the regular season. I don't know. But I see them going 4-2. is kind of what my gut tells me. Anything less than that, they're probably gonna, they'll probably be on that five, six-ish leaning side. Anything more than that, with the way this season's gone, and you might mess around and end up as a three seed. But who knows?
That's a
Yeah,
real
I certainly
opportunity, you
don't.
know, like those are, you know, that's a daunting task
Yeah.
ahead, but those are some real resume builders if
Oh, for sure.
Creighton can, you know, can
Yeah.
beat Marquette or UConn.
Yeah. Yeah. This is gonna be my I'm essentially tip of my hand on my story for tomorrow. I'll have it out later today. But right after they beat Georgetown, I asked Trey Alexander like how big that win was for them to just finally, for the first time in a month, outside of DePaul and the first meeting with George, outside of those, what it was like to just have a breather for once in the Big East, because they don't come around often. DePaul, sure. But even Georgetown has given teams a run for their money. And so you never really know with them. It ended up being a breather for Creighton. And I asked him about it and he said it was big, da 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 da. And then he like finished his answer and at the end threw on keep climbing. And I was like, keep climbing. Wait, where did he intentionally threw that in there. Where did it come from? And we found out at Thursday's media availability that right before that Georgetown game, Greg McDermott went up to the whiteboard and drew a ladder with, at that point, seven rungs on it. Well, the rungs were broken down the middle, and Greg McDermott essentially said, "You want to keep climbing this ladder? It'll get us to where we need to be for the Big East tournament, but you've got to fix the rungs." And so that's what later to find out, that's what Trey Alexander meant by keep climbing. And so that's kind of their motto. They want to fix a rung with each game that passes. Can they climb to the top before we get to New York? Find out on next week's episode of the
Man,
Half Court
that is like that is like a that is a sports movie-esque move from
Yeah.
McDermott there.
No, it is. He said that he's gone to it in the past. Let's see. I have that story. Yeah, he said, when you get close to the end, you can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel. I think it visually gives you an idea of how important all these games are. I've used it at times in the past, but we're nearing the end. So yeah, I mean that's exactly right. How else are you going to get your team juiced to go play Georgetown after three close games? And keep them from looking ahead at the next game, in the next game, in the next game over this stretch. That's a really, outside looking in, that's a good way to do it. Straight out of Hoosiers or, something like that. But we'll see if it works.
Yeah. Well,
Don't know.
I think we got through a lot in that past 25, 30 minutes, John. You know, I think looked ahead to a pretty intense
Yeah.
stretch for both Nebraska and Creighton.
Hopefully, hopefully everyone's home by
I hope you had a good commute back from work. Hope you have a good weekend. Hope this springboarded you into a nice, relaxing weekend. This has been the Half Court Press Podcast. I'll see you next week.